Andy told you how to find it. And as soon as we start up the second hour, let's talk about Adventure Classroom and what's that's all about. Because this is an opportunity that you can set up for your kids.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes.
All right. So we'll find out all about Adventure Classroom is next. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World has been brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
You're listening to Martha Norwalk's Animal World right here on your alternative talk station, 1150 AM, KKNW, Seattle.
Do you find your life has more choices and less meaning? Has bigger, better, more left you feeling less connected and more stressed? Then tune into Conscious Talk, a radio that makes a difference. Conscious Talk will soothe your soul and brighten your day and take you out of the spin and hype and bring you back to center. That's Conscious Talk, a radio that makes a difference, right here on Seattle's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 AM. Brian Apker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animal companions. We've moved from Tuesdays at 5 to our new time, Wednesdays at noon to 1 p.m. We talk about animal communication, how to communicate with and understand your animal kids better, life from the animal's point of view, and alternative ways of relating to those wonderful animal companions. I take your calls and talk directly with your animals about anything you'd like. Health, behavior, emotions, upcoming events in your lives, or just have fun conversations. I even talk with deceased animals and humans. This show is dedicated to taking your calls and talking with your animals. Twice a month, we feature guests who talk about their specialties and answer your questions. Animals have amazing and wonderful things to say. Be sure to join us for an informative, fun, interesting, educational, and definitely unique hour of radio listening at our new time every Wednesday at 12 noon for Joy Turner's Talk With Your Animals, the show both you and your pets are going to love.
Music, the stuff of creation.
What a powerful tool for healing, inspiring, and connecting us to Source.
And to each other. We'll talk about it. We'll play it.
We'll have a lively discussion with guests who are doing it.
So join us Monday and Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Saturday mornings at 11.
Tune in to Living Music Radio on KKNW 1150 AM or livingmusicradio.com.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to our Father's Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world. If they've got Internet access, the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website, which would www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And, by the way, while you're at the 1150 KKNW website, very important, fill out, please, the annual listeners survey. It is going on now until July 6th. It is the best way for the station to know what you want more of or less of or whatever, so they can better serve you. It's important to fill out the survey. Also, we would like an Animal World listener to win the prize in the first annual and listener survey. One of our listeners won the prize, so it's time to have that happen again. And this year, you will automatically be entered to win the drawing for the two nights in a family suite at the Great Wolf Lodge south of Olympia. Sounds like a fabulous place. While you're at the website, you can also check out a deal on a new HD radio, $20 off, apparently, through the website. And KKNW simulcast on 98.9 HD Channel 3. So check all that stuff out at the website. Now, if you would like to be in touch with us while we are on the air, and because we are not doing a formal slideshow with an agenda today, now we can give you an opportunity to actually talk to Helen, and if you've got a question. So I'm going to give you the phone numbers, and if you feel so inclined at some point during the show, if you've got a question or a comment for Helen, we'll entertain your phone calls today. That's a treat, because you don't often have a chance to talk directly to Helen. So, local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Long distance within Western Washington, 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. You can send us an email while we're on the air to our live email address. Pretty simple. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. Now, if you want to be in touch with us when we're not on the air, you can go through the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Lots of good information for you there. Click on current events for all the current event stuff for the Gary and his daughter, Finley's photographs. And let's see, there is also a Contact Martha link. You can send an email, which will get to me at my home office computer, or you can address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or concern, especially if it's about behavior or training, healing issues, I will get back to you immediately if it's something, if I can answer it simply. If it's more a longer answer, I'm going to ask that you call me, because I generally need to have some kind of dialogue. And as a behavior therapist for our animal friends, I don't work via email, but I always do a free telephone evaluation, so it's always worth calling me. So if you or somebody else needs help with their animal friends, love for you to give me a call at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. The number to reach me at is 206-525-2016. Sandy is available normally through her website, www.animalnature.com, but I'm assuming, Sandy, your internet still down? Still down. So if you need to get a hold of Sandy, flower essences, acutonics, behavior or communication or whatever, don't email her. Give her a call. And you can reach Sandy at 206-364-6778, extension 3. 206-364-6778, extension 2. All right, if you are submitting a current events item to Animal World, please do it via email. Much easier for me to get to the webmaster that way. But if for some reason you need to post something via the U.S. Postal Service, Animal World mailing address is 4012 41st Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98105. Now, if you want more information about Helen and the Adventure Classroom that we're going to talk about, or any of her books, all of them available on your website, Helen?
That's right, yes.
Okay. So her website, pretty simple, www.helenthayer.com. Helen, H-E-L-E-N, like it sounds, and Thayer, T-H-A-Y-E-R, helenthayer.com for her website. Books are, first book, Polar Dream, and that is the story of your solo trek to the North Pole.
Mm-hmm. Magnetic North Pole. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely unbelievable. All three of Helen's books are in my absolute top 10 favorites of all times. I mean, they are great reads. You can read them over and over again. This one, Polar Dream, turns your hair green at times. And I'm still amazed after having read this book more than once that you were sitting there. And I remember the first time when this book came out, you and Bill came into the studio at Como.
Mm-hmm,
that's
yes.
where we were. And Charlie Wolfdog
yes,
was with
right.
you. We were all in the studio. But when Sandy, I don't know if you remember, when we first met Helen, all I could do was run up to her and look at her hands. And because of the story of the frostbite and all of that, I was surprised you had any fingers left.
Yep, but, a lot of people do that.
But I guess you can fully recover from
yes.
frostbite.
For a long time, the tips of my fingers were very sensitive to cold.
Really?
Perhaps they might be a little bit abnormally sensitive still. But basically, they've recovered.
Yeah, it was amazing. But that's all I got to see those hands. So if you haven't read that book, it's a heck of a read. Second book is Three Among the Wolves, and three the number three. Three Among the Wolves. And this is the story of you and Bill and Charlie, mm-hmm. your wolf dog, actually living among wolves
that's
in the
right.
wild.
We lived 100 feet from a wild wolf den in the Canadian Yukon, just about a little bit north of the Arctic Circle.
And I'll tell you, this book is amazing. I think of all three books, I think this one's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'll tell you, because, you know, I'm going to tell you folks, I've also read this book more than once. When I read this book, especially the first time, when the book is over, at the end of the book, I am crying like a baby. And part of the reason is because the conclusion of the story, you having to leave the wolves is
yes.
an emotional experience.
It was hard.
A very emotional experience. But I was also crying because I hated for the book to be over. I didn't want it to end. It's that good. All right, and then the most recent book is Walking the Gobi.
Mm-hmm.
All of these, Helen Thayer. And this, of course, is your story of you and Bill and your
yes.
trek across the Gobi Desert
mm-hmm.
when you got to
mm-hmm.
see one of those 35 Gobi bears.
Yes, that's right.
It's an amazing story, too. And, of course, there's animals involved in everything.
Yes.
Now, but all they're different publishers, but all three books are available through your website.
Yes, if people contact me through the website, I can send them a personalized copy.
Ooh-hoo. Very. And I'll tell you what, they are absolutely. And I'm sorry to say, when I was talking to Helen about doing the show, I had to say, Helen, I'm embarrassed to say I've loaned your books out, because whenever she's going to come on the show, I always pull the books out and I like to read them again. And I realized that I didn't have any of her books. All of my personalized copies I've loaned to people and they didn't get returned. So Helen was grand enough to bring me more copies. And then, of course, we found out, didn't we? We're going to rat on you, Gary.
Here, we found out who had one of the copies.
Gary's rattling on about, yeah, isn't it really people that don't return books? How bad is
yeah.
that? And then we find out.
How bad?
Well, what did you say? How irresponsible? What were you saying?
No, I just said when you loan out Helen's books, it's not a surprise that you'll never see it back.
But I think prior to that, you had a comment about the irresponsibility of people that borrow books.
I didn't say irresponsible.
Because he knew he had one on.
Well, see, he's backpedaling now because after this discussion, we then determined that he was the culprit.
What do you know?
He had my copy of Walking the Gobi, and he's the one that hadn't returned it. So there you go. But my copies of Polar Dream and Three Among the Wolves have disappeared and have not been returned. But
and those were not me.
Those were not Gary.
For the record.
But I think there was a method to his madness because he now has his own autographed copy of Walking the Gobi. So, Too funny.
Yeah.
Now, I had promised before we ended the last hour, we had just started to talk about your adventure classroom, and we really hadn't had a chance to do that. I found out over the top of the hour, we've got a Charlie Wolf Dog story coming up, so stay tuned for that. It's new information. But HelenThayer.com, if you want to get copies of the book. Also, you can Google Helen Thayer and find that YouTube video clip, which is quite amazing. Now, Adventure Classroom is a big part of what you do, but we haven't spent a lot of time here over the years talking about it. Would you explain to us what your Adventure Classroom is all about?
Well, one day in 1986, I came upon the idea that I wanted to share. I was a high-altitude mountain climber, and I was actually standing at almost 25,000 feet on peak communism in Tajikistan, and it was a perfect summit day. It had been a difficult mountain to climb, but had a good summit day, and I realized then that I wanted to share my experiences with other people. After that point, my journal notes and my photography had all just been put away, and I went on before I would go on another expedition. So I decided to share in some way. Well, it took 3 weeks to get off the mountains because we were trapped in some very bad storms, and during that time, I decided to create a project called Adventure Classroom, in which we'd take the four corners of the world to kids K through 12.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how my walk to the Magnetic North Pole came about. That was actually the first of the programs for Adventure Classroom.
Uh-huh.
And that was so successful and so well received that inspired Bill to retire from helicopter flying and join me. And so we became a two-person expedition team going all over the world and gathering information about indigenous cultures, the geography, the history, and nowadays, of course, climate change and all these other related subjects, taking them into classrooms and schools via assemblies and classroom work and so forth. And of course, I also lecture widely to adult audiences all over the world, and along the same themes of our experiences, but also setting goals, planning for success, being persistent, solving those problems on the way to our goals, and also we promote intercultural respect. If we want respect for our culture, we must respect other cultures.
And that's something I would say traditionally we have not been very good at.
Well, perhaps not given it a great deal of thought.
Right, exactly.
Now in this changing world, it's becoming increasingly important, and so we really emphasize that, and that's been very well received.
I'm trying to remember where it was. It was just recently on the news. They had films on all of the news coverage of films of an indigenous tribe, and I don't know if it was in the Amazon somewhere, but previously undiscovered.
Yeah, there were 58 undiscovered, not exactly untouched, but uncontacted tribes in the Amazon, and they tried to contact each one, but with mixed results. And now the Brazilian government very wisely has decided to keep foreign contact away, because within 6 months, 50% of a tribe can die from the diseases brought in by outsiders.
Oh, wow.
Because they have no immunity, for instance, to just the common cold. And the common cold can kill them.
Yeah, they've been exposed to what
just
is
their
local.
Own, yes, and they're very immune to those things, whereas outsiders go in and they'll catch those sorts of parasites and all sorts of other bacterial problems and have no immunity. But the reverse is the case when outsiders go into these. The same thing happened to the northern cultures in Alaska and northern Canada when the early Russian whalers came in. A tremendous number of native people were killed with measles and influenza and just what we would consider something that we can survive. They couldn't.
Wow. So the Adventure Classroom, it is a program that we can take advantage of. Yes. Locally.
Yes, I...
We're fortunate that you actually live in the Snohomish area.
Well, we're professional photographers, and I'm a professional lecturer both to children audiences and also adults of all ages throughout the country and nation and internationally. So what we do is I take a digital photography program, and I show that, telling the story of the journey, and interspersed with the message or the motivational message of setting goals, planning for success, and living life without limits. Push your horizons out to the limit and think beyond the norm and go for it in life and really realize your full potential. Don't hold back.
And so it's similar to the programs that you've done for us here on the air, that you show the slideshows, the photographs of the particular treks and explain.
That's right. Now it's all digital, and because we're doing digital photography now rather than film photography. And yes, I tell the story via the photography, and of course I verbally tell the story as the photography is going by on the screen, so to speak.
So a school would contact you and arrange for you to come and present to
any school, any adult group? They contact me through my website very often,
and I'm assuming that there's different adventure classroom programs that you do. It's not just like one program.
No, I have this Polar Dream and the story of my walk to the pole, solo walk to the pole, and then there is Walking the Gobi, the story of Bill and my walk across 1,600 miles across the Gobi, where we became the first man and woman to walk that entire distance of the Gobi Desert.
Yeah, and you came very close to not completing the trek.
Yes, that was...
Of course, almost all of their treks, I would say, you come very close, sometimes more than once.
We always seem to have close encounters where our health is a little bit in jeopardy at times. Safety, but we always manage to make it through because we plan well, and we're very cautious about our planning and very methodical about planning. That's why...
Well, unless a camel rolls on your water supply. In the Gobi, wasn't that one
that
of the...
You that doesn't help things at all.
Yeah, you lost some of your water, and you almost didn't make it, too.
Yes, that was a very tough time.
Yeah, wow.
That took a lot of resolve and persistence.
So the adventure class, we can do the Polar Dream. We can do the
Three Among the Wolves.
Three Among the Wolves. So you have a whole program about
Walking the Gobi.
Walking the Gobi.
And this fall, we'll be going back to the Amazon in Brazil for another expedition there. And after we return this fall, then I'll put together the digital photography program of the Amazon and the lecture that goes with that. And so that can go into schools and go to adult groups as well.
Oh, you could practice here.
Yes.
Now, what we're working on, folks, because we've kind of established a precedent here that Helen Bill have come in, and she's actually done her program here on the air for all these different tracks. And we show the slides on the wall, and we, of course, describe them to you, and she tells the story. But we're working on, hopefully, the next presentation they do here on the air, we're going to have it set up so that you'll be able to follow the photographs on your own computer while we've got them here in the studio. So everyone will get to see the photos, and that's going to be exciting. Maybe our first one could be your new one.
Yes, perhaps the Amazon would be a good one. Yes.
Yeah, if you could practice, we could
work
the bugs out.
It should be very colorful, yes. As we've been that, we have a lot of experience in the Amazon and the Pantanal, which is adjacent to the Amazon.
Now, you said you're leaving. When are you going?
In August.
In August. Mm-hmm. And what kind of a trip? What have you got planned on this?
We'll be trekking and kayaking. Kayaking, of course, is important in the Amazon because it's the roadways of the rivers. And this is how we've traveled before. We've already kayaked 1,200 miles in the Amazon.
Kayaked 1,200 miles?
Yes.
That's when you ran into the killer bees and had to bail out into the river?
That's right,
and managed not to get eaten by... crocodiles and piranhas and
That's
all
right.
of that.
Yes, this time...
Did you get shot at by somebody on that trip as well?
Illegal gold miners saw us and they shot at us. And being shot at in inflatable kayaks is not a fun thing.
Oh, wow. No, that wouldn't... Yeah.
The pucker factor was really high that day.
Oh, my. My, oh, my. Amazing. And you guys are going back for more. Is it going to be a similar situation?
We'll be kayaking and trekking, but gathering more information, particularly about the native cultures and also about rainforest medicine, the medicinal plants. We want to learn more about those and bring that information as well.
How long a trek is this going to be, or how time-wise and distance?
It'll be about a month, and we'll be probably doing around 1,000 miles.
Wow.
It'll be a very intense journey.
Now, I know with your Gobi trek, you had to do a lot of preliminary prep work. I mean, you had to go over there and get permission from the government, which wasn't easy.
They didn't
want to let, because they thought you were nuts.
Yes.
Well, you are, but they didn't realize how determined you are. Yeah, and
we wouldn't go away.
Yeah, that you would actually do this. But to get permission to be able to be the first to walk across the Gobi and all of that. So you had to go and do all that. Do you have to go through that same kind of rigmarole to do an Amazon trek?
No, it's much easier. We just pay the money for the visas, and the main thing is the planning. This is something I really emphasize in my lectures, is that a goal without a plan is only a dream. We've learned that through experience over the years, and so we're very, very careful in our planning. The logistics have to be just right in every detail before we leave, and then once we leave.
Okay.
But the main thing is the planning and the logistics, and because the visas are relatively, compared to many other parts of the world, they're relatively easy to come by for Brazil.
Okay. And then when you talk about a plan and that sort of thing, like in Polar Dream, and I think even in Three Among the Wolves, didn't you had planned, and in Gobi, all of these, you had, well, no, Polar Dream you did not have any resupply.
No.
You did that solo trek by yourself, and thank goodness with Charlie the wolf dog,
yes,
who you purchased from Inuit,
that's right,
locals, mm-hmm, to take with you. He was kind of a last minute deal.
Yes, he was the best polar bear dog in the village, and I was very fortunate to be able to. In fact, they wanted to give him to me, but I said no. That's taking advantage of local cultures, and we don't like to do that. So I gave them my last $100 that I had in my budget. After that, I was completely broke, but it was the best deal. I just cannot imagine.
Is it fair to say that without Charlie?
Well,
you probably wouldn't be sitting here.
Charlie did save my life, there's no doubt about it. He was a very important part of the logistics of that journey, and I always then, when I give that lecture, I always point out that Charlie's really the star of that story, not me.
Because without him, you likely would not be sitting here.
Yes.
And I think he saved you in terms of polar bear.
Yes.
But he also warned you that you shouldn't go someplace.
Yes, he did.
But you didn't listen. And you almost...
And I almost killed us both. Almost put us both in the water, which was not a survivable situation. But I learned from that situation that listen to your animal friends. They know a lot more than we do. He was a much smarter than
intuitively, he knew not to walk on that stretch of ice.
He knew. Yeah. He knew what he was doing. I did not know. At that particular instant, I did not know.
You didn't know to trust him.
I thought, there's a clear path through this rough ice here. Sure, this is the way we should go. Charlie knew that ice would not hold us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank goodness that it wasn't the end. But so you did that trek to the North Pole. You carried all your supplies.
I pulled it all behind me in a 160-pound loaded sled. And
at 50 years old, folks. Unbelievable.
And I had no dog teams, snowmobiles, or...
No, this is just you.
And I pushed the word solo to its ultimate meaning that year, because I was also the only expedition. So there were no other expeditions out on the ice either.
Unbelievable.
It was an amazing feeling of being so tremendously alone. It was...
So now then, with the Three Among the Wolves, though, and with the Gobi, you did have... resupplies.
With the Gobi, we did with Three Among the Wolves. Yes, we did Among the Three. Yes, we had someone bring us some
I'm
stuff.
I'm trying to remember, you had place to meet. You
yes,
had to
we had to go out
to get
and,
stuff.
And haul it all in backpacks, yes.
Yeah. Now, what about when this new truck, when you're going down to the Amazon?
Will you be able
to carry all your stuff? Or can you, like, cruise off the Amazon to a 7-Eleven and pick up what you need? Or how does that work?
They're a bit short on 7-Eleven and McDonald's down there. But, no, we live off the land a lot. We take what we can.
Okay.
The problem is keeping food. We take dried food such as rice and things like that. But because of the humidity and so forth, things are destroyed, go bad very quickly. So basically we live off the land.
All right.
There's always fruit and things like that in the jungle that you can eat.
So you're not packing as much as you normally would.
No, because you can only put so much in a
kayak.
And
you don't have scheduled
when you come across
meetings
it,
where you get
it
more supplies.
If you come across papaya or something like that, your wild fruit and so forth, you just gather some, put it in the kayak, and on you go. And, of course, there's always fishing. Bill is a master piranha fisher. He knows how to get those piranhas, so we basically eat piranha very frequently.
Really? Really? No, I guess that's the first
good.
Time
it's
I've
revenge.
Heard it. So they're a good fish to eat, huh?
Yes, it's a sweet white meat. Lot of bones in it, though. You have to be careful of the bones, but as long as you make sure that... when you've caught the fish, you can still snap your finger off, so you have to be very careful of them.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. All right, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Actually, the most important part of the show, because without them, there's no us, and we can't bring you these wonderful shows with Helen and such. So stay with us. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Charlie Stories coming up. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home cook, the ingredients in that food are exposed to heat, light, and oxygen. That begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. And if my memory serves me correctly, I think Helen was sitting in the studio with us and Charlie when I first started talking about Missing Link. And didn't old Charlie get Missing Link?
Oh, yes, every day.
Yeah. And Charlie lived, what, 20 years?
23 years.
And no doubt the Missing Link had a little bit to do with that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, the Missing Link is made from human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources. They protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. Comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal's friend's food. Add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs. There's one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other little critters like house rabbits and guinea pigs and such. There's a bird formula and a horse formula, and Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or go directly to Designing Health. Their phone number is 800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387 or online at www.designinghealth.com.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 a.m. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Get their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Norwalk, thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you'll do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we are delighted to have two of our favorite guests in the studio. Helen Thayer, husband Bill Thayer, is here. Bill is the quiet one. He stays in the background. But vitally important to all of these treks and the adventure classroom and such. You can find out more about Helen and Bill at www.helenthayer.com. And Gary, we were just talking about, said there is an actual separate website for the adventure classroom. You can get to it through Helen's website. Yes. Click on adventure classroom, but you can also go directly. What did you say the address was, Gary?
Adventureclassroom.org.
Okay, so it's
some great stuff on there, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm. All right, so check it out, adventureclassroom.org. And that would be for anybody that might be interested in having you come and speak the school or adult groups.
Yes.
You can do it for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They would make those arrangements through the Adventure Classroom website.
Yes, they can just contact me through there.
All right. And we're fortunate that you say you do this around the world, but oh, wow, oh, my.
That's one of my favorite pictures.
Now he's looking at the photograph gallery. Now I can tell that's Helen on the Polar Dream expedition, mm-hmm. right? Because she's got her red parka with the fur all around it and a mask up over her face with ice and frost like everywhere.
Oh man!
Can you? Oh. That happens to look like a nice day. It kind of looks like light sky around. But, boy, did you have your experience in some storms and so forth.
Yes, it was an interesting journey.
Now, that's the other. You almost got eaten by polar bears. You almost fell into the Arctic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be instant, never to be heard from again. Mm-hmm. And then, as I recall, towards the end, when there was a big storm and everything blew away.
Yes.
And so you could have starved, you almost starved to death.
Yes.
Because you didn't have any resupplies, and there's nobody, you can't like phone somebody up and say, bring me some more food.
You can't go down to the local store and resupply.
So you barely made it to the end of your trek.
Yes.
Wow. Unbelievable. Ooh, that's a love. Oh, I remember that photo. The polar bear with the young cub underneath between us. That's a gorgeous photograph.
How close were you taking these?
Well, one polar bear, I wasn't taking his photo, though he was only 6 feet from me.
Six feet.
But at other times when I was photographing, they were a bit further away, and I had a telephoto lens. Because if it's polar bear, the one that approached me just stepped out from behind the rough ice and is 6 feet away, you're not doing anything but surviving.
I bet. Well, you know, that's reminding me. Have you seen the photo montage that's circulated on the internet now for quite a while of the polar bear coming in and playing
dog.
With the sled dog?
Yes.
And the chain? What do you think about that?
Well, that happens every now and again. Sometimes, of course, they feed these dogs, and Charlie was one of those dogs before Charlie and I became a team. But they're fed frozen seal meat mostly, and so this, of course, is the polar bear's favorite food. So the polar bears will come in with the smell of that seal meat. Sometimes they'll attack those dogs to get that meat. But there have been occasions when polar bears and dogs have become friends. And I noticed on my journey that there were times when Charlie, he could sense whether a polar bear was a danger and he would be very aggressive. Other times he'd be completely silent and not hardly take any notice. And then when Bill and I went north again with Charlie up onto the polar ice pack, and Charlie, he was the same way. Sometimes he'd just ignore them, and we were just, come on, Charlie, do something. And we learned that if he's ignoring them, this polar bear's not
they're not a threat.
So there is communication.
So there must be an intuitive sense, and he would know what they were thinking.
There's definite communication.
And if they were thinking of you as breakfast, lunch, or dinner,
that's right.
Then he'd be on guard.
Same as we discovered on that particular journey that there is communication going on between polar bears and wolves, because we were actually able to document the fact that polar bears can sometimes do catch seals and leave it there for the wolves to eat.
You actually saw them do that,
yes.
Didn't you?
We suspected it over the years, because why would you ever see a wolf so far away from land, way out on the frozen ocean, where their prey is back on land, and they have no ability to hunt for seals?
Well, because don't the polar bears, they crash into...
Well, they'll dive into the water, or they'll break through the ice into a seal lair.
That's what I was thinking about.
But a
wolf can't do those things.
The wolf can't do that, so...
You wondered why they were way out there
on the ice.
Well,
we were suspicious of the fact that there must be some food sharing going on here. So we went back at the end of our wolf year of studying wolves. We actually went out on the ice pack to see the wolves out there. an Inuit friend of ours knew where there was a 11-member wolf pack out there. So we went out, and sure enough, we did see that. We saw one polar bear catch a seal, eat part of it, and then walk away and let the wolves take over. And then after the wolves had eaten most of it, then the polar bear came back and finished up. Another time, wow, a polar bear caught a young seal, flipped it onto the ice, and walked away without taking a bite.
And just left it, just caught it for the wolves.
And the wolves, and the alpha female was injured. And we thought that perhaps that bear knew that there was an injury and she couldn't hunt. And so she and her companion were allowed to eat.
It's amazing, isn't it, the camaraderie you see among the animal world.
Well, it's very humbling for us as humans to see this, because there's so much going on that we don't have any ability to understand and never will, because we are mere humans without those senses. But we see animals. We saw, in fact, when we lived among the wolves, we actually saw crows or ravens interacting with the wolves in hunting. And then one day we had a close encounter, was going through the ice into a river in the Yukon, and the crows who had been living close to our campsite for the last couple of months gathered around and obviously were very concerned about us.
Amazing.
We went into the water, and we got out, but we were freezing and it was a tough situation.
That was one of those other near-death experiences.
Yes, but because ravens and crows are related up north, you usually find that they're ravens, and they were very concerned.
Yeah, because apparently they had quite a relationship with the wolves.
They do.
When you lived with them for that year.
Yes, they do.
You were
very
able
close
to observe their relationship. And it was a good relationship.
Yes, they play. There are times when they'll tease a sleeping wolf and make him wake up.
Yeah, they actually play games.
Yes, and to make them play with them. Then there are other times when we saw them actually lead the wolves out to a hunt. They would see prey out there, come back to the den, and lead the wolves out. And another time, they will take lead wolves out to carrion, because ravens have no ability to break through the carcass to the hide.
Oh, so they can't peck their way into the...
they need the wolves to do that.
Oh, so a little method in their madness.
Oh, yes.
Here. Come break open the containers.
That's
so
right. They don't lead the wolves out there for nothing. There is a price to pay. They expect to share.
And so the wolves leave something for them? Or
yes, can, and they don't chase the ravens away while they can all be eating at once.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, speaking of the wolves and the dogs and stuff, Charlie obviously was an incredible, incredible dog.
Oh, he's a very unusual, highly intelligent animal.
And so something special planned about Charlie. So what's coming up?
Yes, I'm halfway through writing his biography.
Wow.
And this book, there's a publisher in Seattle here, One Earth Press. He's a designer and a web designer and a book designer and photographer, very, very talented person. And he and I will be working on the publication of this book. So it goes through his publishing company, so that it will be a book of coloured photos. And I've been very fussy about who handles this book as a publisher, because, as I've told publishers, this is sacred ground. Just
well,
not
you
anybody
said,
gets
yeah,
to
that with most publishers, you lose control.
Yes, they decide on the photos. They decide even whether it should be black and white or colour. They decide on the colour, on the cover design, and I have my own ideas about Charlie's book.
And Charlie's so important that you want control start to finish,
absolutely.
And apparently with this publisher you can have that.
Absolutely.
Well,
and
I'm in favor of that.
He of course, he knew Charlie also, so...
Mm-hmm.
So,
we can feel now. Gary, of course, didn't have the opportunity to meet Charlie, but we met Charlie, Sandy, and I, because Charlie was actually in the studio with us in the old days, back at Como, and I feel like, well, you know, we. we were able to help somewhat in terms of Charlie's older life, because as a result of doing the Animal World show with us, you discovered two of the incredible veterinarians that are Animal World veterinarians, Dr. Richard Panzer, who does acupuncture, does Chinese medicine, acupuncture and herbs, and of course Dr. Mike Salewski, does chiropractic and that sort of thing, and they became very close with Charlie and helped him survive, along with the missing link.
Yes, we feel that with acupuncture and chiropractic treatment, and we cooked all of his food and Missing Link and so forth, we feel that we extended his life by many years. He actually lived, an almost 100-pound dog lived to be 23 years old.
And that's unbelievable.
And he was never sick. And the
and some of that's got, of course, be wolf-dog genetics.
He had fantastic genes. He's a Canadian Eskimo Husky, and his grandfather was an Arctic wolf. And so he wasn't a domestic breed, and they told us that at 23 years of age, he had the hips of a one-year-old dog. So he was incredibly intelligent.
Ah. And what did, Liz and Howard are chiming in again. Thanks, and Sandy, compliments to you. We appreciate very much Sandy's wealth of information on being green with our animals from last week. And we're enjoying hearing Helen's adventures today and can't wait to hear more about Charlie. So Charlie's going to have his own book.
Oh, yes, and it's very important to Bill and I that this be a very special book. So that's why we want to have control over what the cover will look like, what photos will be included, and because as I've told other publishers who want the book, I've told them this is sacred ground. Just not anybody gets to mess with Charlie's book, and so we're the protective parents still.
Absolutely,
Charlie's parents.
And these wolf dogs up in the Arctic. I mean, Charlie lived because of you a very different life.
Yes,
and a very pampered life.
Well, they would have felt that he probably would have only been able to live 1 year, about 1 year after my expedition, if I had not brought him home, because the dogs up there don't live long. They're poorly, they have a very, very, the Inuit people are not cruel, but it's just the lifestyle, and
the way
the dogs are really just a spark plug in their engine of survival.
And they're chained out on the ice all the time,
aren't they? Yes, they don't have no shelter. They're chained on the ice. They sleep. Charlie had slept on nothing but ice until I met him, and he had not, he'd only ever eaten frozen seal meat. And at a very young age, his teeth were quite worn.
Wow.
And but the genes are so strong and so pure that when I brought him out of there, he just blossomed. He was a highly intelligent, extremely healthy fellow, very, very powerful dog, but very, very loyal and bonded. And you could just see this dog, he did appreciate the new lifestyle.
Yeah.
Of course, whatever Charlie wanted was what Charlie got.
All right, well, we'll talk. I want to keep up with our time frame here. We want to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. As we continue, we'll do a real quick current events. It's not a lot of new stuff on current events. We'll do a real quick current events, and then we'll get right back to talking a little more about Charlie and when we can expect Charlie's biography. Can't wait for that one. I'm sure that's going to be on my favorite list as well. So stay with us. Animal World continues more with Helen Thayer straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. A Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest standard of excellence for product quality, palatability, and customer satisfaction. They pride themselves on making only the highest quality all-natural pet foods using the finest ingredients available. All of their products are made the Canada way, with superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts, and they're naturally preserved. Discover for yourself and your pets the benefits of feeding Canada and Felidae all natural pet foods. Go to www.canada.com for more information.
Hi, Hi, this is Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle. We're a forum for women and the men who love us, who want to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Join us now 5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. to be inspired, educated, all with fun and love. Be sure to visit our website, chatwithwomen.com.
If you're interested in reaching thousands of women, for sponsorship information, email us at info@chatwithwomen.com.
Today's pampered pets deserve a big apology. Pets are fed the same processed foods meal after meal, which they would never eat in the wild. Research continues to prove that the more we consume processed foods, the more health suffers. Over 25 years of Dr. Wysong's research has proven that pets suffer from the same degenerative diseases plaguing their human friends. Pets don't have a choice about what's put in their bowl, and their human caretakers have been led to believe that they're doing the right thing by feeding this way. Learn more at www.wysong.net. Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the second hour of our Father's Day edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It is a Helen and Bill Sunday. Helen Thayer is here from Adventure Classroom, and we've been talking about Charlie Wolfdog. We'll get back to Helen and our discussions straight ahead here, but first, it's time for current events. On our current events schedule this month. And by the way, if you can't jot these events down or want more details, go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com, and click on current events on the left-hand side of the homepage. That will bring up all the details and a whole bunch of stuff that I don't have time to cover. Remember Cool City Pets, Seattle Animal Shelter, the third Saturday of every month, and that'll be next Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Seattle Animal Shelter. They feature all their little critters like hamsters, gerbils, rabbits, guinea pigs, rats, and mice. So if you're thinking about adding a little pocket pet to your family, you might want to consider rescuing one, adopting from the Seattle Animal Shelter. That's the third Saturday of the month, 1 to 3 p.m. All right. Let's see here. We have got, if you're thinking about that fundraiser for the Delta Society, the Muddiest Buddy Contest, today is the deadline for photo entry. So pop on for the details about that. Meow's third annual auction fundraiser, Fine Wine and Felines, coming up in July on Saturday the 19th at 7 p.m. It's a wine tasting and silent auction. It will be at North Bellevue Community Center. If you'd like to donate or more details on the event, go to the Meow website, which is www.meowcatrescue.org. Another benefit coming up for Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project is their third annual Golf for Animals benefit. It is on July 26th at the Golf Club at Echo Falls. Pre-registration is required. It's $125 per golfer or $450 for a foursome. And this is the last weekend to register at the reduced rate. You can actually register up until July 18th, and you can do that online at www.feralcatproject.org or give them a call at 206-528-8125, extension 3. Humane Society annual walk for the animals. Mark in your calendar ahead for this one. That'll be October 4th at the University Village Shopping Center. $30 per person. You can register online, www.seattlehumane.org. It's a 3K scenic trail walk, and there'll be activities for people and pets. Humane Society, a first aid pet workshop. And that's going to be Tuesday, the 17th. So just a couple of days away. It's 6 to 9:30 at the Humane Society in Bellevue. It's $75. You can email humane@seattlehumane.org or give them a call to register at 425-641-0080. And then the last current events items are related to the 1150 KKNW website. Remember, we are simulcast on HD radio, and if you would like to add an HD radio to your technological collection of instruments, you can do so for $20 off at the KKNW website, which is www.1150kknw.com. Please be sure, whether you listen on the radio or online, please take time before July 6th to go to the website and fill out the listener survey. It helps the station know how to serve you better. You can chime in about what you want, what you don't want. And you have a chance to win two nights in a family suite at the brand new Great Wolf Lodge south of Olympia. They've been advertising heavily lately, and it sounds like a fabulous place. So sign up and take the listener survey at 1150kknw.com, and you can get there through the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon, because that'll click you through to the station website. And then next Sunday is, once again, a Kim Sunday. That means Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will be here in the studio. Open phone lines, and Kim will take your phone calls, talk with your animal friends, help you resolve problems, or talk with your animal or human friends on the other side. She is very gifted and very accurate, and we often work together on a Kim Sunday because you can call in about behavior training or healing issues with your animal friends. She'll tune in and tell us what's going on with the animals, and then Sandy and I can chime in with some help in terms of behavior training or healing stuff. So plan to be here next week and give us a call. Phew. All right, that wraps up current events. All righty, Helen Thayer, it's my guest today. Bill is here also, but he's the quiet one. He's always in the background. Every once in a while, we manage to get him off his chair to have something to say, but we usually have to twist his arm. And
he's a strong, silent partner.
He is, but you have said before what an incredible team the two of you are together. It's kind of like you can be in these situations, these dire emergencies that are truly life and death situation, but it's apparent that the two of you trust each other implicitly, and yes, you know what each other's thinking. And so,
yes, we'll be married 47 years on July 1st, so we figure we've got it down pretty pat. But when things are really tough, we come together without a word and just know what to do. And we've done so much of it together that when the tent's got to go up in the howling windstorm, it just goes up. We don't have to stand around and figure out who's going to do what. We just do it and just go into perfect teamwork, and it works really well. I feel very spoiled because I can't imagine another teammate.
Yeah, and remind everybody, for anybody that's new that doesn't know, remind us how the two of you got together in the first place.
Well, I come from New Zealand, and Bill was, he'd been in the country as a pilot. He'd been sent down by his American company, he is American born, to fly in New Zealand in agriculture work, and my parents were farmers, and my dad wanted a helicopter and pilot to come over and do some work, and so they sent Bill, who'd only been in the country 3 weeks, and this was a job that probably should have taken about 3 days. It took around 7 days.
And there was reason for that, because he was a little smitten with the young girl on the property.
We became just immediately, we just clicked. We were fast friends immediately, and you might say one of these occasions in love at first sight. And so we knew each other a year and a half while he continued to fly in New Zealand. Then we were married in New Zealand, and then we were transferred to Guatemala and Honduras, and we lived in the jungle, deep in the jungle, for almost four years.
But wow. So you guys started off right away. You were doing crazy stuff.
Yes, we were, yes. But his job was on the edge. It's a very dangerous job, and So his sense of adventure and his sense of survival are very keen. So we just came together as a natural team. It was meant to be.
They've always been adventurers, and you're also, you're climbers. You
yes.
like to do, I was blown away because I think it was many years before I asked you if you'd ever climbed Mount Rainier.
Yes, I've climbed it to the summit 21 times.
21 times?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
We're very fortunate to have such a beautiful mountain in our backyard. It's a real asset to this area.
And I believe you also, well, you have some strong feelings about Mount Everest, too.
Oh, yes. I've been asked 3 times to be part of teams going to Everest. In fact, I was invited to be a guide on Everest, and I've refused. So it hasn't been difficult to refuse because Sir Edmund Hillary was one of my childhood mentors, the first mm-hmm. person to climb Everest. And he was so appalled at the garbage and the everything just strewn about the mountains, and that's been my philosophy too. Is just mountains are not to be desecrated with garbage and
human bodies too. I think
yes.
you said there's bodies all over the mountain. They don't always bring them down.
There are a lot, but of course there are some people who want to be left on the mountain if they die there. But there's a very bad, very sad trend is that these days the old ethics of if you come across another climber on the mountain who's in trouble, you give up your own plans for the summit to help that person. And that might mean that you have to go down with them and you might not make the summit as planned, but that's what we did. But now there's a trend on Mount Everest because there's so much money involved that somebody can be actually dying.
And they walk right past it.
And they go right past it because they have to get to the summit no matter what. And they might help on the way back. Well, of course, the person is not usually dead on the way back. And people could be saved. And so there have been, not always, doesn't happen all the time, but there have been some really serious instances of people, pure neglect, and just this egotistical business of having to make the summit no matter what. But then many of these people on the mountain now are really basically tourist climbers. Around $65,000 you can get a guide service to get you to the summit, and they employ Sherpas and people to carry the gear, and they're short roped, which means you put on a short rope and hauled up sometimes. Some of the tourist climbers are very good climbers, but there are many who don't belong on the mountain at all.
But and they don't care because it's just a money,
well, that's,
money
it's
deal.
An egotistical thing to climb Mount Everest, but that sort of thing doesn't mean anything to me, so I just don't want to do that.
So you just have refused to go back?
I'll never climb Mount Everest because it's...
You don't want to be a part of that.
I don't want to be part of the ethics, and I don't want to be part...